The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yes, welcome in to the fastest 2 hours in radio at Yahoo Sports Radio. And right now it is time for another edition of the Big E Sports Show. We have got a number of subjects that we will hit on this evening. And right off the top, let's zero in on the Dallas Cowboys. They have certainly made headlines. They have exceeded expectations. And now the question is whether or not this success, is it sustainable? Joining us on our guest line, that is Brady Tinker. He is the host of DFW Sports Beat television show in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. This segment is being driven to you by Stewart Cadillac. Stewart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. Good evening, Brady. It's nice to have you with us.
Oh, listen, thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it is week 7 in the NFL, and no doubt the Cowboys, off to this 5-1 start and a huge win over Seattle, has made them perhaps the biggest surprise in the 2014 season. And I got to ask you, Brady, just out of curiosity, I mean, before we break it all down, the who, what, why, what were your projections coming into the season, and what did you expect?
Well, if you're talking about record, I thought it would have been an achievement for them to get to 8-8, which they've been so good at doing, because the defense lost, you know, three of its best players, including Sean Lee to injury, and DeMarcus goes to Denver, and Hatcher signs in Washington. So, you know, three of your best players leave one of the worst defenses in the NFL. How is it going to get completely, you know, healed? But it's magical in terms of what Rod Marinelli is doing with this defense. You've got guys being responsible to each other and responsible to their positions, and it's a very disciplined group. It's not sexy, but they've been very disciplined, and they've been in the right places. So they're outdoing anything I thought they could have done. I think we all knew that their offensive line was very good, and the only question was, you know, would the offensive brain trust run the football? And they're doing that as well. So caught me off guard completely.
Brady, did you anticipate the Cowboys would have a different identity in terms of with the run game?
Yes. I think in being around them a lot, you could tell that a toughness was sort of taking over this team, and it all started with this offensive line. And, you know, the Zach Martin pick, whether, you know, Jerry wanted it or not, he's now sworn to secrecy to not talk about it anymore. Turns out to be a very good pick to go along with Frederick the year before and the Tyron Smith the year before that. And Ron Leary is playing really good football, and Free's not a liability at right tackle. And they have some depth with Jeremy Parnell as well. So you could sense a toughness coming on to this team driven by this offensive line at some points last year, but certainly from training camp on.
Brady Tinker is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is joining us on the Stewart Cadillac guest line. And you mentioned the Dallas Cowboys owner in Jerry Jones. And coming into this season, he said it's not going to be a rebuilding process. He rejected the idea. And he said we're going to be better than an 8-8 team. What kind of sense do you get in terms of, you know, can this team, can they win it all?
Oh, I don't know. It's awful early to talk about that. But the NFL has been very weird this year. And then you mix in all the injuries on top of everything else, and I'm not certain, other than Seattle, that there's a team that really looks, you know, just that much better than everyone else. I mean, Denver and their offense make them pretty formidable, and their defense has been better this year actually than it was last year. But I don't know about winning at all, but I think they have a chance to compete in the East, and I would say right now it would be a shock if they didn't make the playoffs. And 6 weeks into this season, the turnaround that has occurred, is mind-boggling. It really is. The toughness that has, the tone that's been set by this offensive line, the way they run the football with DeMarco Murray, the fact that Romo now, after game one, has settled into realizing that you know, he can pull his heart rate down a little bit, that he's got weapons all over the place, and they're going to be able to control the football, and he's done that. I mean, it's all coming together, and just a band of no-names on defense. I mean, it's just hard to fathom. Brandon Carr got paid a lot of money, but I don't think anybody thinks he's a fantastic player. Scandrick's probably the best player on the team, and then he ends up suspended, and but comes back after a game. Wilcox just needs to keep learning. Barry Church is an overachiever. I mean, with Sean Lee out of the middle of this, and he was the guy who was so prevalent at making all of this go the last two or three years and getting everyone in the right spot. To pull Rolando McClain out of a hat has been unbelievable. And we thought we saw potentially some depth in the middle of the defensive line when we were at training camp. But, depth, did that translate to impact plays and turnovers and quarterback pressures? We weren't sure about that. And the front seven, despite not having a lot of sacks or turnovers, has been outstanding and really maybe getting ready to get better with Anthony Spencer getting healthy and, some of the guys that they may add, Tyrone Croft playing good football. So the front seven may just get better and better. I don't know about a Super Bowl, but I do think at this point, hat in hand, I'd have to say this is definitely a playoff team.
Okay, Brady Tinker, host of the DFW Sports Beat television show in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, joining us on the Stewart Cadillac guest line. And you've talked a lot about the defense. It sounds like that you trusted, and obviously the defensive coordinator, Rod Marinelli, he's really done a fabulous job. I mean, these guys are trending in the right direction, they're maturing, and they're accepting their roles.
Yeah, and that's across the board. And I think if you want to give, I mean, Marinelli, the minute he got here and I started talking to guys who had played for him in the past and calling around a little bit, they all just said he is the guy that everyone plays for. I mean, Henry Melton is here and wasn't going anywhere else last year when he was, available in the offseason because of Rod Marinelli. And so they play for him. They listen to him. They believe that he truly cares about them as people and wants them to get better. And if they get better, the unit gets better. They play better football, they win more games, they make more money, and that's a big part of what happens in the NFL, So, but I think you have to go all the way back to the top, and nobody wants to give Jason Garrett enough credit, but since he got here, he has been saying, and no, he's not the personnel director, nor is he the GM, but he has had a major impact on who has come and who has gone on this team. And along the way, he has continued to say, We're trying to get the right kind of people here. We're trying to get, and he wouldn't say my kind of people, but that's kind of what he means. We're trying to get, the right guys here, and we're trying to get people who want to play football here. And I remember hearing that statement from Bill Parcells some years ago and happened to run into him and asked him, and I said, what do you mean about people who want to play football? And he said, you'd be surprised how many guys reach this level and don't have the desire to be as good as they can be, or to really come out and work every day, because it's a ton of work and every play's a car wreck. And, it takes a huge will and desire to want to play football in this league every day, every year for a long time. And a lot of guys don't. And I had never really considered that you would be in the NFL and you might not really genuinely want to be there. But I think Jason Garrett has quietly and confidently gone about influencing as best he can guys that come, guys that go, guys that have been re-signed, guys that haven't been re-signed. And I think he's got a lot of guys here that are of a like mind now, and Marinelli fits in with that perfectly. And their offensive philosophy, they finally went where they had to go, and I think Jason Garrett deserves a lot of credit. I really do.
We've got to step aside for our very first commercial break. We'll be right back and rejoined with Brady Tinker at YSR. We are so glad you're joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want to connect with you. Join us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports, and always twice as nice, you can go back and listen to our podcast page, the Big E Favorites. That's at Yahoo Sports Radio /podcast. Right now, we are going one-on-one with Brady Tinker, host of the DFW Sportsbeat television show in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. He's been going 15 years strong. Brady, tell us about your show before I start asking you some more questions.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sportsbeat started, I was with Velo for a while about 15, 16 years ago, and we were doing a one-hour talk show similar to this one, sort of broad strokes about local teams, college and pros, and it was a one-hour nightly show where we took calls. That was a tough show. Taking calls is tough. A 1 hour television show.
Yeah.
You know, where anyone can call and ask any question. I went out there with, you know, hundreds of pages and notes, and people would say, "What are you?" I'm like, "Listen, they can ask anything." And I did that for 3 or 4 years, and I really enjoyed it, and decided I wanted to do something like that on my own. So about 12 or 13, 14 years ago, I went to Fox Sports Southwest and said, "Hey, if I did a show sort of like I had been doing, sort of a broad strokes, Cowboys-based, but sports-based show that I would call DFW Sports Beat, would you guys be interested?" And they said yes, and I stayed at Fox Southwest for 7 or 8 years, and then went to TXA 21 for 2 years, and now I've been at KTXD for the last 2.5 years. So KTXD TV 47 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It is a broadcast channel, so everyone gets it. Even if you've got tinfoil and rabbit ears on your TV, you get channel 47.
And Brady, what time is that on? Saturdays and Sundays?
Yeah, we are on Saturday morning. First time is at 10, and then we play it again Saturday night at 6. And then if you want to use it as a pregame, we're on also at 11:30 in the morning on Sundays, every Sunday. Yeah. And it's a once-a-week show that we air 3 times. And because of its once-a-week nature, a lot of it is very broad strokes. And so baseball, like, it's better for us to cover because they play every night. So, you know, the Cowboys and the NFL are the best and the easiest thing for us to cover because it's a once-a-week game and we're a once-a-week show. But we do plenty of Mavs and Stars and you know, Big 12, et cetera, TCU and SMU as well. But I enjoy doing it, and Everson Walls is on most shows with me. One of the all-time great Cowboys, 11 interceptions his rookie year at cornerback as a Cowboy. Yeah, undrafted, and so he has a wealth of talent. And I always like to tap into not just his Cowboys background, but his professional athlete background. You know, I mean, he can talk, you know, point of view and how money affects things, or family affects things, or coaching, or whatever. You know, across the boards of any sport, not just the NFL. So he's been a terrific partner with us as well.
Well, I would certainly like to get your point of view on Sooner sensation DeMarco Murray. I mean, one of the big topics all week long is his workload. Does it need to be reduced? I mean, he leads the NFL in rushing and is having just a terrific season.
You know, it's. I remember asking Jimmy Johnson one time a long time ago about Emmitt Smith's workload, and I said, "Man, this guy gets a lot of carries. I mean, he is a horse. He's your horse. What are you going to do if he breaks down?" And he looked at me smugly and said, "I'll get another horse." So Emmitt never broke down. Emmitt was the exception to almost every rule that there is, and that's the reason he's the all-time rushing leader in the NFL. He had an amazing ability to stay healthy, and when he was hurt, play. DeMarco Murray in his career only missed, I think, 5 games at Oklahoma, but he was known to be dinged up a lot, and there were a lot of things that affected him in those 5 years there in terms of his physical abilities. As a Cowboy, he hasn't played more than 14 of a 16-game season yet, and never had the kind of carries that he's on pace for now. The NFL, if it does anything in the last 10 years, shows us that guys that get this many carries don't last very long. Now, interestingly enough, he's a free agent to be. And it may be the perfect storm, at least this year, for the Dallas Cowboys. He's a free agent to be. He wants to lead the NFL in rushing and get paid, whether it's here or somewhere else. He's a free agent to be, and the Dallas Cowboys are on a meteoric rise all of a sudden, driven by him and the offensive line, and they want to go to the playoffs and win a game. So it may be the perfect storm for this season. If you're concerned about the person and the player, then you have to let someone else run the football, in my opinion. But I don't know. All of a sudden Jerry is, and I think at the behest of Steven and everyone else who's running the finances, you know, they're becoming fiscally responsible to the salary cap and what the league means for the first time in, you know, the last 15 years. So I'm not positive they're hell-bent on re-signing him. They may be of the opinion that with this offensive line, the people that we mentioned, 3 first-round picks there, you and I can gain some yards behind it, and running backs are interchangeable now in what has become a passing league. I'm not sure. But I would say if you're going to re-sign him and he's your future for the next 3 or 4 years as the running back, then you better get Joseph Randall, the kleptomaniac, and Lance Dunbar and, you know, the Ryan Williams, who's on the practice squad, you better get them some carries or this guy will break down. His history just says he will.
Well, how bizarre was that with Joseph Randall and his shoplifting?
He said,
What is
that? Apparently what he said was is that the lines were so long at Dillard's he didn't want to wait.
Oh, that's pretty weak. Well, anyways, going back to DeMarco Murray, I have to ask you this. I mean, obviously he's maximizing his opportunities, making the most of his situation. And you've covered the Cowboys for so many years, Brady. Who does he remind you of?
Well, he finished his runs. I mean, I thought, you know, in a lot of ways we were looking mirror to mirror last, or whatever week it was when we played Seattle, because, you know, Marshawn Lynch is a beast, and DeMarco Murray's very similar. DeMarco is a little bit faster. DeMarco's, I wouldn't say fast, but by NFL running back standards, but he's not slow. But overall, he's a one-cut-and-go guy, sort of like Emmitt Smith was, and then he finishes runs so much like Marshawn Lynch does that he, a lot of that offensive line, I mean, they set such a tone of toughness. I mean, it's amazing. He's tall. He runs a little bit standing upright. He's had a little bit of problem all of a sudden this year with fumbling the ball, but I think he'll take care of that, you know, a little bit higher and a little bit tighter, but... he reminds me at this point so much of Marshawn Lynch, and the tone that he is setting and they are setting for this team is much like the one that we respect so much that Seattle has, and how they won a Super Bowl. You know, the sexy Broncos went to the Super Bowl against the against the smash mouth Seattle Seahawks and just got smashed in the mouth. And for the first time in a long time, this Cowboys team has an identity, and I don't mean to be smug, but the identity of this team for the last 10 or 12 years has sort of been fluid. It's been one thing one year and one thing another. I guess it's always been sort of high profile, sexy. It's been an offensive team. It's been a team that was willing to take chances and sign free agents and trade away first round draft picks. None of those are great identities. Now, this is an identity of a team that is now looks like it's built on people who want to play football and who are tough, hard-nosed, focused people. And that's weird. But it really works in this league.
Okay, that has been Brady Tinker right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You check him out when you are up in Dallas. He is host of DFW Sports Beat television show in the Metroplex, and of course, KTXD on TV 47. He's been joining us on the Stewart Cadillac guest line. For the latest deals and models, check out stewartcadillac.com. And of course, the Dallas Cowboys host the Giants on Sunday, and it'll be very interesting to see how that one plays out. Thank you so much, Brady.
My pleasure, Lisa. Thank you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead. Stay close right here at YSR. Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is time now to head out to the NFC East and find out what in the world is going on with the Washington Redskins, who currently stand at 1-5, and they are off to another tumultuous start and are going to host the Titans on Sunday. It is a true pleasure to welcome in and introduce Rick Snyder. He's a regular beat writer, a columnist with the Washington Post Express, very talented in our business. He is also the author of 100 Things Redskin Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And he is joining us on the Stewart Cadillac guest line. Stewart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. Hello, Rick. How are you on this Friday night?
Doing great. I wish I was rich enough for a Cadillac. That would be sweet.
Hey, they are sweet. And I have got a ton of questions surrounding the Washington Redskins. Who in the world is to blame? I mean, they are 1-5. Is this all about waiting for the return of RG3?
Well, that's all it's left to do is wait for the return of RG3. I mean, the season's shot. They're not an awful team, but they have weaknesses, and they play a tough schedule. I think things are going to get a little easier, and they'll start doing a little better. Obviously, Kirk Cousins wasn't the answer, which I knew, but was finally proven on the big stage. And, you know, they've just got pieces missing. If people ask me all the time, why can't this team win after 20 years of this? And the bottom line really is everybody has changed except the owner, and the fault lies at the owner for not picking a general manager. He's never had one. He's had cronies that just were awful. They got to get somebody in here to do that.
What is the most immediate area that, in your mind, that they've got to address?
Well, I think the quarterbacking really still is. And Roberts, you know, could be back, and it's hard to say, but, I mean, the most likely one is after their November 9th bye. I think that's when he'll probably come back, but maybe earlier. You know, they played three games before then, because Kirk is just not playing very well at all. A lot of interceptions, and you're not going to go anywhere with that. I mean, defensively, it's just about across the board. They have no pass rush, and that's terrible because they have no pass defense, so they can't cheat. You know, it's kind of funny that Gruden talks about we're going to try and change things up and see what we can do to get some help. Well, the cavalry's not coming. There's nobody you can sign that's going to help you, and you can't promote your reserves because why are they reserves? There's a reason. You just have to bear through it, and hopefully they can keep staying competitive and not collapse like last year. They just gave up and lost 9 straight.
Now, of course, Rick, I mean, tough times, obviously, for the Redskin fans. You've got 3 consecutive double-digit losses. Are you surprised that head coach Jay Gruden, I mean, I know that he's inexperienced, it's his first year as a head coach, but I thought he brought in a really solid resume. Are you surprised that he's not had more of an impact?
Well, I think he's doing fine. I like him for the reason that he is a football coach. He's not the general manager, he's not the vice president, not anything else, but a football coach.
Okay.
And sometimes he's a little too candid, you know, which can only burn you in today's media, being honest with people. So that's why people look at him a little more. But pretty decent play caller. The challenge will be when Robert comes back, can he adjust the offense more to Robert? It looked like he was going to, and then Robert got hurt. Defensively, I think Hazlitt, their coordinator, will probably be let go at the end of the year. But they're playing with spare parts on a lot of levels. They lost some good players, and that doesn't help any. But I don't have any second-guessing yet on Jay Gruden.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Rick Snyder. He's a columnist with the Washington Post Express. Of course, we're going to talk about his new book that he's just released here in a moment. It is titled 100 Things Redskin Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Rick is joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. And I know Redskin fans, all of us, are very anxious for the return of RG3. But talk to me some more about how disappointing it is in terms of Kirk Cousins, because I thought he kind of teased us a bit. What was it in week 2? And then, what, is he leading the NFL right now in interceptions? He's got 8.
Yeah, and that week 2 is a perfect example of what Kirk is. He's a great reliever, and I think he'll stay in the NFL for a long time. His value is he can study and prepare for you, and as a reliever, the other team's not prepared for him. So he has the advantage. He's a smart guy, and he can beat you in the short term. But the more you see him, the more you figure out the problems he has, and the more he can become frustrated in time and throw the picks, which is really what happens a lot late in games. He's smarter than this. It really surprises me he keeps doing this. It reminds me a bit of Rex Grossman, who's been here a few years. You know, knows better. I'm not surprised at all that he's not a starter. He just isn't. But I think he can be a great reliever around the league, much like Gus Frat did for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, talking about Kirk Cousins, I mean, you just have to wonder, I mean, what the issue really is, because he does know the offense, but just why are there so many mistakes?
He's taken too long reading some things, and that's a little surprising, too, because he and Robert are both very smart quarterbacks. They usually see things. But Kirk has taken an extra second or so to recognize people and the patterns, and it's cost him. Cost him interceptions and mistakes, and that is surprising. But I think that's really the bottom line, is he's having, you know, defenses are starting to confuse him the more they know that they've seen him play, and everybody's now seen the tape, which they hadn't early in his career. They've all seen it now. And so they wear him down, and then he gets frustrated and tries to force things, and there goes the turnovers. And defenses know that, and that's why they capitalize on him late in games.
Well-known sports writer and columnist with the Washington Post Express, Rick Snyder, is joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, talk to us about the return date for RG3. How is he doing, and how is the rehab?
Well, looks good. He just started practicing again on the field on Wednesday. So, they say it's up to the doctors. You know, there's a little reluctance to run him back right away because last year he rushed back too soon, said he was ready, went to public about it. And so you can't trust his opinion on this anymore because you weren't ready last time. I think it takes an extra week or so. The last thing you want is to rush him back, get hurt, and then you have no idea if you need to go look for a new quarterback. And that's what the real test is here. Is he going to be able to prove anything these last 8 games or so he plays, or do they need to go quarterback shopping again and just, you know, move on from him? I don't know. I think he might actually play against Minnesota November 2nd. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised at that. Be a little surprised if he plays the Monday night game the week before against Dallas, but you never know. You never know. It's the prime time and things happen here. I wouldn't be shocked if he played in that game, especially that they're down.
Okay, so much attention has been focused on RG3. I want to hear about the rookies for the Redskins. How have they fared so far?
The rookies really haven't seen a whole lot. You know, Breland, the cornerback, has been forced to play corner after D'Angelo Hall was hurt. He does okay. He gets beat sometimes. He makes some plays. He might be an okay player. Trent Murphy, their second-round pick, the pass rusher, has not gotten a lot of time yet, but Brian Arakpo has done so poorly, I expect Murphy may play a lot more in the last month or so of the season. Other than that, really not much to say.
Yeah, linebacker Trent Murphy, second-round pick. Okay, so let's move ahead and let's talk about your new book, 100 Things Redskin Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And obviously, we've already highlighted how turbulent it has been for this organization over the past couple of seasons. Do you remind the listener or the readers that the Redskins, I mean, they've won 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah, and they won 2 world titles early in
the 30s,
40s mm-hmm. also. So it's been a pretty good franchise over the years. Triumph Books out of Chicago has put 90 books out, left this series and all the different sports. They're pretty formatted. Each chapter is about 3 pages. So, you know, you can 5 minutes, you can read each chapter. And they gave me pure freedom to write about anything. There are so many great stories in this book. Things, I've been around the team 30 years. I've watched the team for 40-plus. You hear a lot of stories about something that happened. I went back and looked for them all. Things like, the RFK Stadium was going to be named LBJ Stadium if it was up to that president. But he decided, he got in a big fight with RFK, who was the Attorney General. This is a Washington politics story. Basically, RFK is assassinated in 68. LBJ won't even put the money down for him to be buried at Arlington National Cemetery next to his brother. The key Kennedy people in the cabinet remembered that stunt. And RFK is buried there. Nixon had to pay for it. But when the last days of LBJ's administration came, and he said, I want the stadium named for me when I leave, they did a quick cabinet meeting amongst them. They didn't need LBJ's permission to name the stadium because it's all national parkland. And at the last minute, they named it RFK as Nemesis.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, you know, how that mm-hmm. worked.
The title of the book is 100 Things Redskin Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Rick Snyder, columnist with the Washington Post Express, does outstanding work. Please check him out online. Of course, he's been joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line for the latest deals and models. Check out StuartCadillac.com. Rick, you look real good in driving one of those Stuart Cadillacs.
Sell enough books, and that'd be sweet. I'll get a black one.
There you go. Hey, much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close. Time now at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, for some NBA news and notes. And the team that we're going to shine the spotlight on is the Chicago Bulls. And, of course, the 2014 season, it was very disappointing, a roller coaster after Derrick Rose sustained another season-ending knee injury. Of course, we remember it caused him to miss 72 games, but that's in the past. It is time now to talk about the present. We also want to relive some of the magical memories from the 1990s Chicago Bulls dynasty. Some good times. And now joining us on our guest line, that, of course, is Kent McDeal. He's a sports writer, works with NBA.com. Of course, he's joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. Good evening. How are you on this Friday night, Kent?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Loving life down here in Houston. Always a lot of fun when we're going to talk some NBA. So, the countdown, it is on for the start of the regular season. And what a summer for the Bulls. I want to recap for the listeners. We remember Carmelo Anthony. I mean, he teased Chicago about the decision process. It seemed like that, you know, drug on forever, what, 2 weeks, and then left them empty-handed. And instead, the Bulls land free agent Pau Gasol. Derrick Rose is back. He's healthy. What's your overall forecast for the Bulls? Because I see it as very, very bright.
Oh, it's going to be an exciting season. You know, the Bulls actually have too much talent at this point, so much so that they brought over Mirotić from Europe, and we're not even sure if he's going to be able to play because they have so much talent up front between Joakim Noah, Gasol, and Taj Gibson. So there's all sorts of questions about how much time Mirotić is going to get. We have a rookie in Doug McDermott who is actually going to start, I think, tonight in a preseason game because Mike Dunleavy suffered a bit of a leg injury the other day, slipping on a wet surface on a basketball floor. So, and then if you go below even the 10th spot on the team, you've got Tony Snell, who the Bulls drafted last year, 2 years ago, a really nice looking swing man who's not going to see the floor at all because the Bulls simply have too much talent. Now, whether they have enough talent to win it all, I don't know. But if Derek stays healthy, if Joe stays healthy, it's going to be an exciting season. And I would just guess that they're going to end up in the Eastern Conference Finals at least.
Well, Ken, I was going to say, as you rattle off some of those names, what comes to my mind is just that depth. They will be a very dangerous team. How concerned are you about the Cavs? Because they, too, are one of those teams out of the Eastern Conference that have a ton of depth.
Yeah, but in the NBA, even though I hate to go by rote this way, but it's a pretty significant concern that they haven't played together yet. And Irving is going to have to figure out where his shot's going to come from with LeBron on the floor. And the same with Kevin Love, who is a 26-12 guy, and he's not going to be a 26-12 guy if LeBron's going to be as dominant as he has been in the past. Now, I know LeBron, one thing you got to give him points for is that he does have a tendency to let his teammates excel and then sort of put his stamp on a game when necessary. But there is going to be a growing process that could make it a little bit more difficult for them to win this year.
Okay, the Chicago Bulls, when you talk about them, I always think of defense, just a very physical type of team. But what's going to be at the forefront of the mind for Tom Thibodeau and crew? I'm assuming it's going to be offensively because they have got to increase and post some better numbers than what they did last year. They were at 94 per game.
Yeah, but Tom doesn't think that way. Tom thinks defense, 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 and the offense is going to come. With the addition of McDermott on the outside, and if they can get Mirotić onto the floor, Gasol provides some outside shooting, the growth of Joakim Noah and a healthy Derrick Rose, the continued development of Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson, who's probably got to be considered one of the best sixth men in the league. I think Tom thinks that his offense will be generated out of all of that, and as long as you stop the other team from scoring, you're going to be okay. Thibodeau is an unusual coach in that he has his way of doing things, and there's not anything that's going to shake him from it.
What about the addition of Gasol, as you mentioned him? What kind of impact can he have on the offensive end? I mean, we know that as a big man, he can stroke it from long range.
Yeah, there's some concern about his age, but I think being in a new environment with a team that's set to win will sort of energize him a bit. The question that came to mind when they first brought him in was how he and Joakim Noah are going to play together. And they have spent as much of the summer as they could and this preseason trying to figure that out. And it's all going to be a matter of how Thibodeau rotates Taj Gibson into the lineup then. I think it's going to work out great. This all seems like a really decent guy in regards to wanting just to be able to fit himself into a situation. He's not coming in as a savior or a star necessarily with Derek on the floor. And the reigning defensive player of the year, all NBA player in Joakim Noah. So he's in a position to just fit in, which I think will work out well as opposed to asking him to carry a greater load.
You are listening to the voice of Kent McDeal tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is, of course, with NBA.com and is joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. Did Pau Gasol, with this move, I mean, he turned down bigger offers. Does he believe that this is a championship-caliber team right here in Chicago, here and right now?
You know, I'm not exactly sure what his thinking was. It wasn't money-related. He's made his money. I think he really wanted to go to a place that had a chance to win. Chicago's organization is solid and has been solid for a long time. Thibodeau is an established coach. Gasol, of course, experienced an established coach when he played for Phil Jackson, and I think he likes that kind of steady influence. There were a lot of things that were attractive about this gig, and I think one of them, again, was because he wasn't being brought into be the star of the show. Those requirements were going to be placed upon his shoulders. This is a better situation for him because at his age, he's more in a fit-in kind of role than he is in a carry the load kind of role.
Okay, Ken McDeal from NBA.com. We're going to talk about his new book here in just a moment. Of course, If These Walls Could Talk, Chicago Bulls. But I've got to ask you, what have you seen from Derrick Rose so far? I mean, obviously the key for him is he's got to stay healthy, but can he return to that MVP form?
I don't know if that's what his goal is. I think he has decided that he's more of a facilitator than he is a scorer. He's going to take his shots. He's going to get his shots. But I think his thinking and the way that he's played so far with the team in the preseason is that when Joe and Pau open things up on the inside, he's going to be able to find his shots. Now, of course, the question that came from the World Cup was whether he's going to be able to hit his shots. But he claims that that's not a concern. And so I think you're going to see Derek more as a facilitator. I don't think you're going to see the kind of averages he had from the MVP year. He's not going to be required to do that. He's got other scoring options. And he seems like a guy who really only cares about winning as opposed to being solely responsible for the win.
Now, Tom Thibodeau, he was one of the assistant coaches with Team USA. How nice was that to get to spend that extra time with your player in Derrick Rose?
Yeah, and he spent a lot of that time keeping an eye on him as far as his physical health and minutes and trying to work with him to make sure that he was confident on his legs. You know, I think it's a really difficult thing for Derrick in regards to having to not think about the fact that both of his knees have been operated on in the last 2 years, and you have to be fairly strong mentally to be able to take that out of your mind. And I think maybe Tom was around to help with that as well.
Okay, we're going to transition now with Kent McDeal from NBA.com, joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line and talk about his new book that's just been released. The holidays are here. We want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of it. It is titled If These Walls Could Talk, Chicago Bulls. And you go behind the scenes in the 1990s Chicago Bulls dynasty. You were the only beat writer to cover all six of the Bulls championships. What was that experience like? I mean, what a thrill.
It was really something special. We all said at the time it was like traveling with the Beatles, especially after Dennis Rodman joined the team in 1995. But even from the first time around, the Bulls captured the hearts of a lot of people. They were, for the NBA, America's team throughout the 90s, led by Michael. But you know, we had discovered that Michael couldn't win it by himself, and they came up with the parts they needed initially, and Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant and Bill Cartwright and John Paxson and on and on. I joined the team as the beat writer for the Daily Herald newspaper, which is a big suburban paper in Chicago, in 1988, 3 years before they started winning championships. And it was a nice gig. I mean, I got to travel the country. I got to go to Houston once a year and got to go to all the other great cities in the country at least once a year. It was fun. I was covering one of the best athletes in the world. We didn't know he was going to turn out to be the greatest basketball player of all time at that time. It was a nice little story, and then it turned into the biggest story in sports throughout that decade, and I was there on the front line for every minute of it.
And it was an incredible ride, and I would love to hear some more about your relationship with Michael Jordan, but of course we've been visiting with veteran sports writer Kent McDeal. You can also check out his work at NBA.com. He really does give you the insider's view of the 1990s Bull Dynasty. It is very well written. Congratulations on that, Kent, and we look forward to having you back right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
All right, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Kent McDeal's been joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. For the latest deals and models, check out stuartcadillac.com. We will be right back.